This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk a little college hoops. Let's welcome aboard right now Tom Pecora, Quinnipiac Associate Head Coach, joins us now. Hey, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Coach, what's up?
What's happening, fellas? How we doing, all right?
We're doing all right. How about yourself, all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Just sitting here listening to all the experts on how this bracket's going to play out. And the great thing is it's a living organism. Every year it's different, and there's different issues every year because the committee's different, and there's always teams that are heartbroken. I've been there. And then there's teams that are thrilled because they sneak in. So it's an exciting time, man.
Coach, do you think the committee got it right this year?
Well, I think it was an interesting year because it was such a soft bubble. You know, I don't think the committee ever gets it right in half the people's minds, and the other half, they think they've done a wonderful job. It's obviously a very hard job. I think, you know, going back to my roots, being the head coach at Hofstra and then the head coach at Fordham in mid-major, so to speak, leagues, it's really hard to look at a team that has, two wins over 500 from a major conference, what would be considered a mediocre-type season, get in, and then you see teams that are having tremendous years, like a North Carolina Greensboro with 28 wins, and you can't get in the tournament. You know, the tournament, more so each year, is built for the big boys. You know, as we looked at this year, everyone's looking at that net and how's that going to affect things, and it's all driven by quadrant one wins. And when you're at a mid-major conference, you don't have the opportunity to get those wins in the course of the season. So you're a regular conference season. And in non-conference, if you're a good mid-major team, none of those big guys are going to play it, especially at home. So it's going to become more and more of a challenge, I think, for mid-major teams to slide into this tournament.
When you look at it, Coach, and the number one overall seed, Duke, you know, and they're 9-4 favorite right now to win the whole tournament, cut down the nets out in Minneapolis. What you've seen here from Zion and crew, you know, should they be that heavy of a favorite?
Well, once again, those are the guys in Vegas, and you never doubt them. They always seem to be on the number, you know what I mean?
Right, true. But when you look at this team, you know, I mean, they don't shoot the ball particularly well from three. They go through some cold stretches. We know Williamson makes up for a lot for them and for Coach K. But, you know, do you view this tournament, Coach, as Duke and everybody else?
No, I don't. And I think that one thing that you mentioned, I think, with the three-point line allows teams to stay in games if they're a little less talented. And if they come up against a team that plays a great zone defense, and forces them to beat them over the top, and then limits their second shot opportunities. That's a key for Duke because Zion is so good at just putting it on the rim and then going and getting it himself. You know, he'll miss his own back-to-the-basket move and then just go get it and finish with a tip-in or offensive rebound and get a three-point play out of it. If you can make it a one-shot game for Duke and you force them to beat you from the perimeter, you can beat them.
Coach, I mean, speaking on Zion Williamson for a second, I mean, just, you know, we were talking earlier, Moose and I, you know, and it's like the kid is hyped to no end, but it's almost like with good reason. He is just, it's amazing, like his size, his speed, the way he D's guys up, the way he can, you know, shoot the ball, just his athleticism, his energy, the exuberance he brings to the team. In your years coaching, I mean, can you think of somebody off the top of your head that this guy's similar to? Do you feel like a lot of folks, the same narrative, that he's just, I hate to exaggerate, maybe, you know, a freak of nature?
Well, yeah, he's a different breed of cattle, that's for sure. At 285 pounds, at that size, to be able to move like that. I've been talking to some of our coaches here. We're on the road to play a game, and we were talking last night, and I said my concern with him is, you know, you see these young guys get drafted, and you look at them in the draft, and then you look at their physical size 5 years later as they grow into men and they're in their mid to late 20s, 30. I mean, when he's 30 years old playing in the NBA, is he going to be 320 pounds?
Right, if he
just continues to grow big and bigger and stronger. And if you're that size, can you take that, your body take that wear and tear of an 82-game plus playoff schedule? So I think the knee scared some people a little bit, I think, this year. His ability to shoot the ball from the perimeter has got to get better. He's not going to be able to just plow through bodies in the NBA because, obviously, bigger, faster, stronger on that level. But, look, as far as trying to compare him to someone, it's very difficult.
Right, right.
You know, people have said Charles Barkley, and Charles was undersized and powerful and just was his skill set was off the charts. So, you know, basically 6'5 power forward that was able to play in the league and be one of the all-time great players in the league. But it's going to be interesting. I think the other thing, too, is going to be where he gets drafted and who he's surrounded by on the next level. You know, does he go to a team where he's dependent on, they're dependent on him to make every play and do everything? Or is he on a team that, that's able to bring in some talented veterans around him to help him guide the way?
You know, Coach, people are going to look at Virginia, and Tony Bennett's done a remarkable job with that program. And we know they lost last year as a one. They're a one again. Had a great regular season. I know Boeheim said this is probably the best overall offensive team that Bennett's ever had at Virginia. You know, you look at that region, you have to, you know, if they're ever going to get to there and get to that Final Four, you know, you would think it would be this year's Virginia team. What about the Cavs this season?
Yeah, well, that's our local guy, Ty Jerome, out of Westchester.
Yeah.
I prepped one of the great guards and the other backcourt player guy. The thing with Virginia is pace of play. You know, they play at a snail's pace offensively at times. If there's a break opportunity, they'll take it. But they're in close games. So what happens with a team like Virginia is if you're down 8, you're down 16. You know, so getting back in a game, if they jump on you early and you've got to fight back into a game against Virginia, they're so efficient. Their ability to shoot the basketball and then burn clock on a regular basis, each offensive possession, just shortens the game. And number of possessions against Virginia are drastically down as compared against other teams. So that's a negative for you if you're down. However, if they're chasing you and you force them because you jump out and get a lead on them, you're able to spurt and get a lead on them, and they have to chase you through the course of the game, and you force them to play at a quicker pace, they become a little bit better, a little bit more of a challenged team, I should say. But, heck, Tony Bennett's as good as it gets. I mean, he's won, he won at Eastern Washington, man. So the dude can just flat out coach and his personnel and his length and the way they pack line and defend you. It's a great formula.
Coach, what about if you go to Midwest in that deal there? Auburn, man. I mean, I watched Auburn play yesterday. They just don't look unbelievable. I mean, and they have, unlike a Duke team, they have the ability to really hit threes left and right. Break down the Wall Eagle for me, please, because I'm all in with them right now.
You are. That's your crew, huh?
Well just about, yeah. Yeah, they look great to me. They really do.
They did, and you know, one of the two things that you look at with some of these teams is they go on great runs in their tournament, and are they able to keep that momentum, you know, or are they exhausted from what they were able to accomplish in that tournament?
Yeah,
I think you look at Bruce Pearl; he's an incredible motivator. You know, Bruce is got them fired up. He's punching through the air. He's got them, you know, ready to
raw
meat going into that game. Now, can he elevate them to that level this week as they go into the tournament? And some teams are going to make adjustments on it. One of the things that happens as the year progresses, going into your tournament, and then even more so in the NCAA tournament, when you have some of these coaches, that have a week to prepare, they're really good at taking away what you do well. You know, I had the opportunity. I was an assistant coach at Rolly Massimino, and when Coach Mass had a week to prepare for somebody, he never lost. Because he could just figure out what you wanted to do, how you wanted to do it, and he would take away those one or two things. And now it becomes players having to make plays instead of running plays. So it's going to be interesting to see how teams prepare for Auburn.
We're talking to Coach Tom Pecora, associate head coach at Quinnipiac, joining Taz and Moose, breaking down the field of 68 here on this Monday morning. You know, Coach, Taz and I were talking about earlier on the program, I thought the Spartans got a little bit of the short end of the stick, right? Because they're in the same region as Duke. I think they're the best two seed on that line. And the best two seed, then you stick with the best overall seed in the East. And I get they're going to look at the where they're playing in the regionals. I get that. But if I'm Tom Izzo, I'm not exactly ecstatic. I just come off winning the Big Ten tournament, beat Michigan for a third time. They're a two seed in an easier region with Gonzaga. I'm in a two seed. I got Duke.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. And that's happened in years past. I believe that part of it that comes into play is the region they want to send them to. They don't want to hammer them with travel. They want to make sure they're in a region where there's going to be great interest as far as fan base is concerned. But look, Tom Izzo's as good as they get, and you know, Sparty fears no one. So I think their mindset going in there is, yeah, we could be in another region, but when we get to this level and we're competing against these type teams, you know, when you're looking at these 1 and 2 seeds, I mean, those are heavyweight battles. Doesn't matter where the game's going to be played. Both teams are going to be playing at a high level. I thought yesterday they just did a great job in the second half of that game after the injury to that young guy, you know, and their ability to come back and play that way. And he's going to be out for the entire tournament, you know. So,
yeah,
so
ankle, that's right. High ankle, I think, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. That was scary what happened to him. Yeah.
Yeah, it sure was. He's a lucky young man. Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was.
And you could see Izzo, hey, Coach, you could see Izzo got emotional when he walked away from the kid while the medical staff was tending to him, you know.
Yeah, listen, Tom Izzo, I had the opportunity to do some Nike clinics with him over the years, and he's as good as he get, as there is out there. Not only as a coach, but a guy who just, he brings those rough, tough kids in there, and he loves them up, and then they think they'll run through a wall for him. And that's what good coaching is all about.
You know, Coach, you mentioned this tournament's for the big boys, but, you know, we have had some great Cinderella runs here. If you look at across the entire bracket, is there a team or two, a mid-major, smaller conference school that you think, you know, with the right draw here, has got an opportunity, right team, got an opportunity to maybe create a little bit of magic here in March?
No doubt. I mean, I love Yale. You know, they're going to go against LSU. James Jones up at Yale, it's just, he's, you know, been there before. They beat Baylor two or three years ago, and I had an opportunity to watch them and go up and see them practice a few times back then when I was doing some TV work. And he's got this team prepared. He's going to go in against an LSU team that's in a little bit of turmoil here, obviously playing without their head coach, Will Wade. And I think that there's a game you can really look at and say, this could be an opportunity for a team to win. You know, when you look at conference tournament games, too, you look at a team like Belmont, Rick Byrd at Belmont. You go around to all of the major colleges in the country and talk to coaches about some low-level guys that they can really coach them up, and Rick Byrd's one of them at Belmont. So I think that those are two games that are really interesting. Hey, locally, Fairleigh Dickinson's got to go win tomorrow or Wednesday and go win the first game in school history in the NCAA tournament. I think that's something people don't look at when you're playing those play-in games, you know. It's almost the out-bracket game. Are you really in the tournament? Well, you know, what if you go in there and you win a tournament game for your university? It's huge. So I think that's a great game to watch and enjoy. But it's just a magical time of the year, guys. You know that deal.
It's great.
Everyone looks at – what's that?
No, you're right. It's awesome. We're agreeing, but continue.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, it is. I mean, people who have no interest in college basketball, you know, are filling out brackets today.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the great thing is I remember I was teaching school 25 years ago and we had a pool and – some woman came in and just, you know, whatever color she liked, or she was going by nicknames, and she ended up winning like $1,000 in a pool. You know?
and
everyone's coming to me for advice, and I'm going, oh, I like this, I like this. I probably came second to last in the pool. So it shakes things up. And like you said, the having those Cinderella teams makes this interesting.
Yeah.
However, it just becomes, each year it becomes more and more of a challenge for certain teams to get themselves into the tournament. I think the big thing, too, this year is there's a couple teams got into the tournament after playing very weak non-conference schedules. And years ago, like last year, that really bit Nebraska and didn't allow them to get in. I know NC State this year wasn't able to get in, and their net was a lot higher than a number of teams that did get in. So no one knew how that net factor was going to affect this year's tournament. What people don't realize, this committee changes, you know, almost annually. You have different chairs. They have a different charge each year because the numbers change, and they're always trying to get things perfect. So with that said, when you're doing your scheduling as a college coach and you're trying to get games in your non-conference for the following year, hey, this team looks like they're going to be a good team, and now we live in a world where three kids can transfer tomorrow, and all of a sudden a game that you thought was going to help you get an at-large bid is a game that you can go win, and it doesn't help you at all. You know, things like that all come into play, and those decisions are made this spring for next spring. And sometimes they don't all shake out that way when it comes to your non-conference games.
Coach, realistically speaking, I mean, how many schools, how many programs can actually win this tournament between Duke, you know, Tennessee, Virginia, Gonzaga, North Carolina? Like, how many, in your opinion, can actually win this thing?
Yeah, I don't think it's a year where there's two or three teams that are just flat out totally dominant. You know, style of play comes into play so much. I think when you look at teams that win NCAA championships, they don't beat themselves. Obviously, you know, two of the last 2 years, Villanova being able to do it, you know, they don't beat themselves, a team like that. But this year, I think there's probably 8 to 10 teams that could go on a run. And if once you get that momentum going, and then you put yourself in a Final Four and Elite Eight spot, matchups become big. And then having the ability, once again, we talk so much about, you know, this 3-point line. It is drastically, it's just incredible how much it's changed the game on this level, because you're never out of a game. And your lead is never safe because of it. You know who it kills? It kills those guys at the end of the bench, which I can totally relate to. You know, like 10, 11, and 12, man. You can't get in the game anymore because it's a 15-point game with 2 minutes to go. Coach can't play you. Back in the day, you were getting in and, you know, waving to the family, but not anymore. You know, you're 5 possessions away from it being a tie game.
You know, Coach, if we ask you right now, Duke or anybody else wins this tournament, would you take anybody else?
Yeah, well, I would. I mean, I you know, right now I just kind of went through it. I'll tell you a team that I think is really scary is Florida State when people play Leonard Hamilton's teams. If I have them going to the Final Four out of the West, I mean, if you don't score in transition against Florida State, you don't score, because their half-court defense is so good. He gets long, athletic kids, and he's on them from day one, about being in gaps and 5 against the ball, and you cannot score. It's a challenge to score against them in half court. And right now their offense is playing at a high level. So I think they're a team that could come through this thing and surprise some people. Obviously Carolina, when they get their mojo going and they get out and get stops and can go out and run, they're as good as anyone. Tennessee. And then I had, like as you mentioned, Duke and Michigan State. I think that's a battle to get into that East, get to the Final Four out of the East. But, yeah, I'm going to take the field. I wouldn't be shocked, you know, as my buddy Timmy Capshaw used to say years ago, we'd be recruiting and we'd be at these big AAU events and Mike Krzyzewski would walk by and he'd go, hey, I heard that guy does a nice job. And you know what? Every time he went by, he'd say it, and every time we'd laugh. So anything Coach K does would not surprise anybody in this business, that's for sure.
You know, I'll close it out here, Coach. So you have Duke, Michigan State, the regional final. You've got Florida State, Tennessee, and Carolina, your other 3 teams going to the Final Four, right?
Yeah, what do I know? But that's who I got on my pad this morning, and then we'll see how things break out. You know, like I said, it's always an interesting, you know, Thursday and Friday. I think those first 2 games of the tournament really just bring everybody into it. And it is. It's the best sport in the world because young men are playing it. They're not pros. There's going to be great plays made by guys you never heard of. There's going to be bad plays made by young men that they'll never hear the end of from their buddies 20 years down the road when they're having a beer. It's just an exciting time. And the unpredictability of it, I think, is what makes it so exciting for people. We all sit here and chart it out and then, you know, and then it plays its way through whatever the destiny may be.
Coach, we'll close it out. What about for Quinnipiac this year? You know, season, how'd it go? How'd it go in the regular season in the MAC and certainly where this program's going in the future?
Yeah, we're in good shape. I'm working here with Baker Dunleavy, who obviously was down at Villanova, and we're in year 2. We were able to turn it around in 2 years, have a winning season. We kind of kicked the can. The last regular season game of the year, had we won, we would have got a piece of the MAC championship. But we weren't able to get that one, so we're playing in the CIT tournament tonight. And we got a bunch of good young players that are going to just keep getting better and better. And it's an incredible place, Quinnipiac. I don't know if you've ever been up there,
yep.
But, I mean, the facilities, the campus, the growth of the university has just been off the charts. So we're just scratching the surface. I think things are going to get better each year. And I'm having a ball. You know, I was a head coach for a long time, and now I sit in that second seat and I just make suggestions instead of making decisions. It's a lot easier.
That's it.
good for you, buddy.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck in the game tonight in the CIT tournament, and good to hear from you, and we'll chat again soon, all right?
All right, guys. A pleasure. Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.